is.
There we go. Okay, great.
Okay, there you go.
Alright, so let me just fire my...
You see on come through your like Facebook feed and everything else. Anybody have any idea what I mean by cybersecurity? Who wants to take a shot at it? All right, don't be shy. What is cybersecurity about?
Cybersecurity. It's got to have something to do with security, right?
So, what is everybody after? Like, why? So let me ask you this: why do you think Facebook is free? Who's on Facebook here? Has everybody got a Facebook account? Why do you think it's free?
They sell your information.
Right, they sell your information. Do any of you really care about your own information? Well, you really should. I can't even tell you how much you're being stalked and used and. Jeez,
you've seen this scene before. Trying to get the computer to cooperate.
Trying to get this little cyber presentation up. So why are they after your data? So they're after your data because, and everybody's on Facebook and it's free. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to understand what it is that you do, right? Right? Have you ever gone through like everybody's buying Christmas presents right now. So you type in a search for something, and what do you know? In the very next page, you see the very thing you're looking for, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you guys in about 10 slides and sort of give you a background on this. So who can tell me what the internet is? Now you guys should know this by now, especially in this particular class. Tell me what the internet is. Anybody? What do you think the internet is?
Like a global network of computers connected together to receive information and send information?
That's really it. It's a global network of computers connected together. What uniquely identifies each computer? Every single one of them has a unique ID, right? What is it? No? Well, the IP address binds to what? It binds to the MAC address of the physical hardware car, which is a unique code. All right? You're going to go out there and do something malicious, or you want to go out and threaten the president, that little MAC address, the FBI will find you in the blink of an eye. Okay? So everybody thinks that this is what the internet is, this big iceberg of interesting things. Some stuff's up here, it's protected, all of these protected things, and everything else is down here. Okay. The truth is, you can only see 4% of the internet. That's it. You're surfing around your phones, you're only on the 4% of it. Okay. The other 96% looks like this. Okay. This is actually what the internet looks like. All of these nefarious sites down here. Like, I don't want to ask anybody if they've been to 4chan, but There's a lot.
Oh, that's an active board. So
this is, you'll find all kinds of like really bad sites, gun trade, child pornography, drugs, all these kind of things. This is actually the internet, okay? And the moment that you enter below the water, okay, you are going to be tracked by the FBI. Like, I kid you not, it's the real thing. All right, this is where the FBI hangs out.
All right. So, the way to get down there, does anybody know what a Tor browser is?
All right, so Tor is what you would use to go down there and surf around. But even when you download Tor, you're being tagged by the FBI. You can't even download Tor unless you know what you're doing, okay?
So when you go on the internet, okay, you're going to be tracked, all right?
This is an actual track of the New York Times, TMZ, and Yahoo. Three clicks, there'll be 210 or more sites following you. What are all these guys doing right here? What do all these people want from you? They want all your data. Okay?
This is what the internet is, okay?
There are sites out there, like this site right here called Conversant. Now what they do is they take every single bit of data and they create an anonymous ID for you. And they categorize you, they precisely match all your data to you, so that they can uniquely identify you, so when they want to sell you something, okay? All of these things are free. Snapchat, Facebook, okay, Twitter, these are all marketing mechanisms, okay? And who gives them the data? You do, okay? You give them the data, all right? That makes a very bad thing. You're giving away the very thing that they want, and you're doing it completely unaware, okay, that you're doing it. These guys, like, analyze videos. Like, they analyze, like, 20 million viewing hours a month. So that they know when you click on a video, the video that you're getting has already been pre-screened for you. They already know all about you. They know the type of sweatshirt you wear, okay? And they're like, this young man is going to be most likely to buy this. Or most likely to engage at this, okay? I promise you, this is the real thing. Right? Everybody thinks that this is not what the internet is. I assure you that this is exactly what it is. Okay? There's millions of mobile users. It doesn't matter if you go incognito or you disable your cookies. You're being tracked. Okay? Because people want to get as close as possible to you so that they can interact with you while you're surfing, trying to get to know you, trying to understand what you buy. Okay? So the real quick takeaways on this is, like, most people, like when I use this little presentation, most people, I think of like a cow, right? You give a cow free food, you give it a place to go, you give it an environment to play around in, okay? They produce milk, cheese, beef, all these wonderful things that we like to put on our pizzas and things. The truth is like, you are much like that, okay? They provide you free apps, convenience, platforms, and your data and your personal information and your preferences are all the product. At Facebook, you are not the customer. You are never the customer. You are the product, okay? You really have to, like, get that, start to understand that. So as you go into a computer science career, the types of software that you're going to write, okay, are going to, like, interact with these types of areas, all right? So why is value, so when you think about the value of data, it's like, people say, well, how does Facebook make money? Let me tell you something right now. Facebook makes money, like, this slide's 2 years old. They like make between $3 and $4 billion a year on advertising. It's not an accident what comes through your Facebook feed. It's totally not, right? Like, it's totally not, all right? And even Google is always collecting your information, okay? You want to know what the most searched for product in this area is, according to Google? I'm going to tell you because I know this. Plus-sized women yoga pants. Okay? That is a true statement. So if you are going to start a company and you're going to be in the apparel business, you better carry that. But that's how, like, that's what Google can tell you. Like, if I pulled up Google Analytics right now, I promise you I could tell you that. All right? So there's really two people who want data. There's the good guys out here. These people, they're kind of good. Right? They're not nefarious, okay? Like, even Instagram's in on the game, okay?
And then there's the bad guys. I'm going to talk to you about the bad guys, okay? This is an active black market site. This is the bottom of the iceberg, okay? So these are actual sites that are up and, well, they used to be up and running, okay? They sell all kinds of nefarious things. Things like, you know, drugs and like rare animals and all this kind of stuff. It's all out here. It's all powered by Bitcoin, okay? You can go out there. You can surf around. If you know what you're doing, you can go in there. I don't, do not do it. Okay, I highly recommend you don't do it, okay? But this stuff is out here, all right? So with that said, and I want to speed this along, when I asked you in the beginning what's cybersecurity is the practice by which information security analysts like me plan out and carry security measures to protect an organization's computer networks and systems data from theft. I know that you guys are coming in here and you don't know how to handle your data. Not just you guys, just all of us do. We all have these bad habits, and we all walk into these, into our professional roles or our student roles. We use this equipment, okay, and we're not aware of the data that we're responsible for. So my job is to make sure that you don't click on malware, ransomware, and cybercrime doesn't get committed. I'm legally responsible for the data that's within the fences of BCC, okay, which is keeps me up at night. Right? So identity theft is actually the fastest growing crime in America, way faster than like drugs or like breaking and entering or armed robbery, way, way faster. This is the fastest growing crime. Why is it the fastest growing crime? Anybody know? What makes it so, like if you're a criminal, you're like, can I be the bad guy here? What makes it so?
There's a lot of websites that ask you. Really easy to
it's really easy to do what?
I don't know.
It's really easy to rip people off.
Yeah.
Anonymously. Yeah. If you know what you're doing. Okay? I'm not trying to get you guys into like any kind of nefarious careers or anything like that. But really, this is really the game. Identity theft is like a big game, okay? So there's a really high demand for like people like me, okay? So information security analysts typically will have a bachelor's degree, okay, in computer science or information assurance, programming. This CIS 120 class is one of the most important programming classes that you will take, okay, because it teaches you how to, like, do digital logic and processes, and it sets you up to do object-oriented programming, okay. All of these types of things are the backbone of the websites and the things that are being stood up and created for the next generation of internet products, okay, which you guys will be working on. So, the change in employment, this is the fastest, by far, the fastest growing IT career for the next 10 years. There, for every 10 openings, there's only one guy out there. So, it's a great place to be, okay? So, the next question is, what's an average salary? Okay, the average salary in Massachusetts is $97,000 a year. That is a real number. Okay, how many people want to make $97,000 a year? Yeah, hell yeah. That is a nice way to make a living. Okay, using what you know on how to programming. Okay, and understanding things, you're going to be working with the very technologies that you use every day. Okay, so and you can see the darker the red, the more opportunities there are. If you look in the Northeast right here, you're sitting in a hotbed of where information security is. Analysts and cyber engineers are in the highest demand, okay? So when you're learning like the TCP/IP stack and all these types of technologies, okay, all of this stuff, all of the companies that are building these tools are up in the Northeast. There's a high concentration down here in the Southeast and also in the Midwest, up in the Seattle area, okay? So it's really cool. I meet a lot of people in this career, in those areas, okay? So just as a little, like, hey, I went to this job site called DICE, and I did this little analysis, and I said, show me all of the jobs that are information security analysts in Massachusetts with just 5 years experience. That's it, 5 years, okay? That is the average salary for all of the jobs that are out there right now, which there are, like, I'm going to say there were, like, probably 200 or 300 jobs just in Massachusetts. You know, you can't find these guys, okay? So when you choose a career like this,
you can really set yourself up to quite an opportunity, okay? So there's a certificate program that you can take here that we're actually working on now, okay? You can take sports semesters and classes. You can do the computer science transfer option where you go to UMass Dartmouth, okay? You do 72 credits here. You transfer over to UMass Dartmouth. You'll get your bachelor's in science degree. And I promise you, no matter what flavor of cybersecurity or computer science you go into, your salary will be around 70, at least 70 grand a year. I promise you, there are not a lot of people that walk out of college today and walk into these types of jobs, okay? So that's my little 15 minutes. That was a lot of information in 15 minutes. So does anybody have any questions on what I just talked about? Anybody got a question or two?
How long have you been here?
So I've been here 5 years, right? But my background is in electrical engineering, okay? That's my degree, and I went there to get it, okay? So I'm not only I'm an alum of this school, okay? And I can tell you this program right here, this transfer option, is one of the best that you can, it's just a terrific program. When you're coming out of Priscilla's class, Professor Gross's class, and you are really set up to like walk into like a four-year degree program, okay? So these are hard numbers too. I'm not lying to you. You literally are going to make this, all right? But they don't give these degrees away, all right? They do not, all right? You got to work hard for them, okay? If you want any information about the transfer program, I'll be happy to help you guys, okay? And Professor Grosser knows how to get in touch with me. So if there's, you sure you don't have any questions? Don't you want to know what it's all about? All that kind of stuff?
What's your day-to-day like here at
DCC? So day-to-day, so right now I'm pulling a lot of like sensitive information off all of our computers, okay? So a lot of people with a lot of bad habits right now. So all of our file servers are scanned for like malware, things like WannaCry, those types of things. Okay, we're actually moving into, we're thinking about moving into a product called DarkTrace, which was created by a company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And what it does is it's all artificial intelligence. So it starts to learn your patterns, and once it starts to understand the way that the data moves through your computer, if it feels like it's going in the wrong direction, it suppresses it. If it feels like it's right, going in the right direction, it increases it. So there's going to be, like, artificial intelligence is going to be part of your future. Okay? It really is. These are very human-intensive activities, trying to manage the amount of information that flows through here. Okay? So, but we have to depend on technology, mathematical algorithms that are going to, like, help us do some of this stuff. So other questions? All right, so I'm going to invite our next guest up, and I'm going to step aside. So thanks for having me. Professor Grosser knows where to find me if you want to really know how to, like, protect your cell phone. I promise you, you'd want to do that.
Thank you. My name is Seti Farias, and I am a senior program analyst for Meditech. I support patient management applications in the client services division. A little bit of background on me. I graduated from BCC in 2001 with an associate's in computer programming. My first programming class was actually with Priscilla, and that's when I knew I wanted to do that for a career. I didn't know what programming was until I actually sat in her class. Basically, I've been with my company 16 years. I got hired in September 2001. I graduated BCC in 2001 in June. And I had two interviews. The first interview, basically, they gave me a programming test, a 20-page programming test. It took me 3 hours. And said, here's our language. We're going to teach you it. We want you to solve these problems. And then I left. And I was like, that was exhausting. 3 hours of testing. But it paid off. They called me back for a second interview. And that was more of like a in a room with management and directors, and they basically told me what my responsibilities would be, asked me a little bit about my background. So that's how I got into Meditech, and they have their own language. So they basically put me in a training for 2 weeks and said, here's our language, learn it. And then they sit you at your desk, they give you a mentor, and they ask you to support hospital systems. So basically my company delivers healthcare information to the medical community, which means long-term care facilities, nursing homes, behavioral health, clinics, hospitals. So it's throughout the United States. We have hospitals and facilities throughout the United States. Canada, we have about a third of Canadian hospitals, and also in the UK. What I do is I basically troubleshoot, debug, isolate, implement, develop new code fixes. That's a mouthful, right? So if I could try to like go over my day-to-day, I come in the office. I support a couple of hundred hospitals right now, and basically if you walk into a hospital and you go to the ER, you know, they're looking, they type in your name, they see if you're already in the system, they enter you in the system, they answer your test, they enter all the information about your health care, your visit, into the system. And that's the applications I support. I'm a product expert in the registration process, allergy management, interface coding. So I'm in the office 3 days a week, and then 2 days I'm actually at home. So that's actually great. So I don't get dressed till noon on Wednesdays and Fridays. yeah, it's pretty awesome. And it's a 9 to 5:30. And 90% of my job is independent research, so I basically do everything on my own. But you do have to work on project work. You collaborate with other programmers. You do peer review. Issues come in. Hospitals will say this. You know, this is showing up on a report. Why is this showing up? And then the application specialist would get the issue and review it and try to look for a fix. Is it working correctly? Why is it working correctly? Is it not working correctly? So they're troubleshooting the issue to see how they can help the customer. And if it's a bug, like something's showing on a report and the customer's like, well, that shouldn't be there, that's not part of the patient's medical record, and that needs to be removed, we don't just go in and remove patient data. Everything is a heightened sense of security, kind of like what he was saying. You have to have access to the customer systems. So there's a lot of responsibility. So what I would do is I get that issue, I look at how the system's designed, look at the background job processes that's happening. Everything in the background is code. So I'd have to track down and isolate the problem area in the code and then come up with a solution and work with our development team to code the fix and get that new fix delivered out to the hospital systems. So they have development is basically you sit there, you create, design, and work on new enhancements, new deliveries. Client services, which is what I'm in, basically the system's already up and running. Customers are using the system as a tool, and they're reporting issues or just asking for information, and I help troubleshoot and debug those issues. Some of the things I've worked on, back in 2002, I was at my job for a year, and they said, here is a huge project. it was the entire province of Finland. We implemented an integrated interface that basically, we have a centralized database in Canada. The Ministry of Health Industries stores all the patient data in one database, and you have, 30 plus more hospitals, and they all communicate to that one database. So I wrote code, it took me almost 2 years, I wrote code to integrate and communicate and transfer data from one system to the other. So if you're in one hospital and then you go to another one, you don't want to have two separate medical record files, so it links it to that one. So they have all your allergy info, they have all your you know, past medications, from a past medical history. That's what I do on a day-to-day. Some of the fun things about my job, like I said, we work at home 2 days a week. There's medical benefits. We get profit sharing. I didn't mention this in the last session. Profit sharing. We get a bonus every year. It's a big bonus. It's 5 years of your salary, 5%. When I first started at Meditech, I was making 30 grand. That was in 2001. I can tell you what he said with those numbers. I am up there. So you definitely do have to put your time in, you know, just working hard. And some of these classes that you take at Priscilla actually help get me ready to learn and learn the language that I'm using now with my company. We actually have three different languages. There's magic, there's client services, and then we have the 6X product, which is more of an object-oriented, which I just learned in September. So it's definitely challenging work to be a programmer. It's like being a professional student and getting paid for it. So if you like that, I'm telling you, this is definitely job stability and sense of it's hard work, nothing's easy. But starting here at BCC is where I got. I gained a lot of the skill sets that I still use today in my profession. Do you guys have any questions? Anything? If I could, you know, share anything with you guys, it would just be to just take advantage of all the programming classes you can. And it doesn't matter where you end up, you're going to learn your company's, you know, procedures, policies, code sets. My company is proprietary, so they train you in what in their own language. So it's not like you're a, you know, you have your degree, go figure it out. You get trained, and you have this assigned mentor, and you become like a resource, you become a product expert, and that just takes time, and you build your skill sets. Skill set as you go. Do we have any programming majors? What do you like about programming?
It's always constantly. There's always something to learn. There's always new aspects being created. It's not just here's what you've learned and now you kind of just stick with it for the next of your lifetime. Like, I think computers will evolve and evolve in civil programming.
Absolutely, and that is the challenging aspect of it. You don't want to be stuck in a static, boring job. Like every day, I go to work every day. I have organized my workload, but anything can happen. You know, this hospital system's down. Their entire system's down. I got to figure out how to get them back up. Look at what's going on. So everything's very different. Day to day is very different. It's very challenging, and there's often times where we get opportunities to work on projects where we actually go out to customer systems as well. There's many different professions at my job. There's application specialists, computer scientists, software developer. There's an implementation group where they travel to the hospitals to give them like an audit to make sure they're using the software correctly. Charlton Memorial, St. Anne's, those are all my companies, run my company's products. And so it's highly integrated, and there's a sense of heightened security on patient healthcare information, PHI, and to protect your data. So what he was talking about, cyber security, we actually have a group at Meditech that does that as well. Everything you can think of in computers, we have a group at Meditech. But I like programming. It's independent. Mainly doing it on my own, just doing research, being a student.
What about when you run into a problem that's really overwhelming? How do you get together with a group?
We'll set up like an internal call, so it's just the Meditech peers. We set up a conference call, or we'll meet to like a group setting where everybody's in the room. We'll discuss, we'll go over the issue, we'll come up with a plan of action. And separate the job. So you work in a collaborative effort, really. this person has something to do, this person's doing this, this person's doing that. So we all come together, come up with a plan of action, and then we actually meet with the customer. It's mostly over the phone, but we do have like some technical people going out on site. We have our development team that does that a lot, and also my associate VP goes out when they're implementing new enhanced software, newer versions of the software, because that's a big undertaking for hospitals. So when something like really big is going on, we have a whole list of product experts and technical assistants that we all get together. It's usually the account manager. So each hospital has an account manager, and under the account manager you have application groups, and I'm patient management application group, which is just admissions, medical records, care manager, quality management, it's the administrative aspect. Then you have the clinical end, you have the laboratory, you have blood work, blood bank, information, ITS, therapeutic services. So every function you could think of in a hospital setting, we have groups for here at my job. And so you become, you self-research and you learn the product and you become an expert. And it's fun. All right. There's no more questions. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Carolyn Dorsky. I'm going to use the cheat sheet because I don't really like getting up in front of people and talking. Here I am. So my background is I have a bachelor's of science degree in computer information systems, but I got that over 30 years ago. And then I worked for about 7 years down in Newport for subcontractors to the Navy. And then I became a stay-at-home mom, and I stayed at home much longer than my kids did. So I was there for like 25 years, and then I decided it was time to start working again and get back out there. And I didn't just want any job. I really enjoyed programming when I was doing it. So I didn't think I could get a job, having my experience from so long ago. So I came to BCC, and I got that certificate of programming. Except it was only a 1 year program for me.
Pardon me?
He said it was 2 years for the certificate.
The security one.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I got 2 semesters, a lot of classes with Professor Grosser. And then she helped me out, actually, and got me hooked up to her neighbor's son was looking for somebody at State Street Bank. And I went up there and interviewed, and so I got my certificate. I finished in December, and by Christmas I had that job, and I started in January. So I wish you all luck like that in getting your first job, that you don't have to take months going on interviews, because that's a painful, painful process. So I've been at State Street for almost 2 years now, up in Quincy. So when I started, I was driving up and back 5 days a week, and that's kind of a killer. But after 9 months, they gave me permission to work 2 days a week from home, and now I have permission to work 3 days a week from home. So I only have to drive up 2 days a week, which is, helps a lot. That's nothing. Listen to a good book on my audio books. I'm all set. So for my job, I've worked on several different projects since I've been there, and most of them are just with Access databases. They're smaller systems just for little groups processing what they do. It's not for all State Street. State Street is a huge, huge company. When I did my research before I went for my interview, I looked, and what they do is they're not like a bank, like Bank of America or something. They handle investment banking firms and do accounts for them, and they handle over 11% of the world's wealth. And they have, oh gosh, I forget how many employees, 15,000 employees, I think, or something like that, worldwide. It's huge. But I'm just in this one little onboarding group. They've been doing some changes there. And when I started, they were just starting up a business onboarding for Sydney clients. and this was new for this group to handle. And they told me, okay, go create a database to handle the processing for this group and track their openings and stuff like that. And I worked completely on my own. The guy that hired me, I could go to him for questions every now and then. But basically, it was just what I, how I wanted to set up those tables and how I wanted my forms to look and my reports to look was all me. Just total creative license, which I really enjoy. It would be bad to have somebody else programming. But I would be a new programmer around everybody else's account processing. I'm so glad I'm not one of them. So, like I said, I've worked on a few different projects, but lately I'm back on that first one because that's expanding now, and they're taking on other service sites. It's not just Sydney anymore. It's China and Hong Kong and Singapore and Taiwan and Korea, so a few. So I've had to modify the whole database to handle different groups and their different processes and forms and steps, processing steps. So that's what I've been working on mainly for the past 2 or 3 months. But again, I still have another thing I'm doing for my direct supervisor, so that's a whole different thing. It's always changing. I'm the community manager for a SharePoint site, so I deal with that. I set that up, designed it to look like I want it to. And then handle all the permission requests and things like that for that. The database that I told you about that I'm working on now primarily, it's only got about 100 different forms and reports and about 50 different tables. And I do SQL database queries. And I code in VBA, Visual Basic. You know, it's like a language of the past or not of the future, you think, but it handles everything. And
it's in the top 10.
Is it? There you go.
VB.net is in the top 10 languages.
You know, all languages are similar to one another. They're just logic and they just do things a little bit differently. So. Some have more powerful aspects to them. But this one works well because with the Access database, then you interact with Word documents in Excel and Outlook, and you can create the documents, read the documents, create emails, send emails, and that's, you know, we do a lot of that in our work. State Street, I found it's a good company to work for. I'm still working for that salary, but I'm getting there. I started at a fairly low salary, I thought, because I was a beginner programmer, even though I had worked before, it really didn't count for much. So I just wanted to get that job, and I'm glad I took it, and they took me, because since then, I got a decent salary last year, and a good bonus, and I'm up for promotion this year. I'll probably get it. I'm hoping that comes with a good raise, too. So, and they have the volunteer days, like today, I get 2 volunteer days a year. So this is big time, you know, I'm going to talk to you guys. And my other volunteer day this year, I took to go to Thompson Island in Boston Harbor and do a cleanup. It's a lot of fun. It's a very beautiful day. So, excuse me. And I also get 3 weeks of vacation a year, which I think is pretty good starting. Sorry, I need a drink. Since I'm here, I feel like I had that privilege to give those to you.
I think it's really important you're all here in school, stick with it, get your degree, so that you can get a job to support your lifestyle. And when I spoke last year, I was asked, it seemed like the majority of people going into computers were going into gaming. And I gotta tell you, don't make your hobby your job. Then it's not your hobby anymore. Go for the good job. Gaming is good, but you might not be able to get it. There's computers in every company, pretty much. And programming is interesting no matter what type you're doing. Also, choose something that you like doing. You know, if you don't really like programming, don't do it just for the salary. Just get something you like doing. You know, I tell you, don't make your hobby your job, but still, you've got to like your job. I really like programming. The reason I went into it was actually because my dad suggested it. He said, you like doing puzzles, figuring out things, solving things. I love it. That's what it is. Every day, it's just figuring out how to do things and solving little problems. Don't do it, though, if you're not detail-oriented. And you've got to be perseverant to find those problems, because you know you're missing one stupid little letter somewhere.
Patience, yes, patience.
But it's one little thing, it won't work. So don't limit yourself and put effort into your school here. Get the best grades you can. Do everything you can, because those things will make a difference. Also, when you go to get a job, you're out there to sell yourself. Don't be afraid. Sell yourself, because everybody else is going for that too. My supervisor is hiring a person right now just for account processing, but this person put on that took some classes in computers, and she's been fed. I'm going again. Sorry.
Anybody got any questions or tests?
Well, you're talking about detail-oriented. I worked on an issue for 9 months for this province of Newfoundland, one of my hospitals, Eastern Health. And there was like 60 steps, and I could not figure it out. 9 months, and there was one step missing that the customer never communicated. So it's things like that, those little details, nonverbal and verbal communication, they come hand in hand with day-to-day job. But yeah, detail-oriented. Every little stroke on the key, if they click the mouse twice, like, I need to know that information. Every little detail. It tends to, like, spew over in my personal life, which is not always a good thing, because I tend to drive people nuts. I overanalyze everything. The more you're in your job profession, the longer you're there, the more you tend to kind of simulate what you do with your job and your personal life.
Okay, I'm going to just finish up quick then and say, what was I going to say? Oh, use your resources here when you go to get your job. I went to the career office. I used the online resume building thing. I went through the interview tips and I felt like all of that helped me. Seek out people who can help you. If Professor Grosser knows somebody looking for a job
in my neighborhood,
you know, if you've done well in her classes, she might suggest you for it, and it might work out. Don't forget to put all of your job experience, even if it doesn't seem to relate to the job you're going for, don't forget to put it on there, talk about it, make it sound better than it is, but don't lie. And sound really enthusiastic and positive. When I went for my job interview, he asked if I liked, I asked both, if I liked working alone and if I liked working with a team. I had no idea what the job would entail. I'm like, yeah, I can do both, sure. And I can, actually, so that's fine. And don't wait for the perfect job. When I first got my job 30 years ago, I got a job at a temp agency first, working as a secretary, and then that company hired me as a programmer. So, you know, don't sit around and wait for that perfect job to come. Take what comes, get the experience it gives you, and then you can include that and keep looking for your best job. Any questions? No.
Thank you. Any questions for Eva? Okay. Then we are done for now.
I'm gonna go get some mints.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I'll take a break and try to get a cup of tea or something. Thank you. Anybody got any questions of me? You know, right now you can spend the rest of the time working on something if you have questions, or you can go get a cup of coffee too, because we're done. Yes, Carol wants to see
Carol. Yeah, I haven't seen her. I just came across pictures last night from the award ceremony.
Oh, really?
And I had a picture of Carol. By the way, guys, this young lady, Tessie, here used to be my work study student years ago. Do you remember how many years?
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
It's like a ghost from the past. It's so awesome.
Yes. Okay.
Post it.
How many years? Okay, guys, I'm going to hold the card.
Thank you.
Anybody got any questions about any assignment? Yeah.
So how's the rest of the schedule going to play out for the remainder of the semester for this class?
Open labs next week. I'm done.
The final will be a take-home?
And the final will be a take-home, and it will be posted a week before it's due. So your final is due on the Tuesday of finals. So I will post it next Tuesday, or actually I'll post it Monday night. So that means, or might go out a bit earlier if I get it done. So it will go out Tuesday, and you're, you know, it's due the following Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay? And it's due as in mailed to me. This is an online final, because this is a student option course, and there's a bunch of people that are actually are still in the course that are doing it online. So it's an online course. Now, what the final is it's a combination of there's some coding to do, there's some analyzing and explaining to do, there's some multiple choice, there's some true-false. It's a little bit of everything. There are some questions that are required, and there are other questions that are optional. And so you can do, you have to try the required ones at least, or you're going to lose all the points for that question. The optional ones, you can put the things that you're best at and do the optional questions in that area. Okay? I will give extra credit on the final, which means that you can get yourself up to 110 points. If I hit 110, I'm not going to look at anything else. That's the maximum points you can get. Okay? But you can do the optional ones to build yourself, you know, as I said, up to 110. Okay? It has to be emailed to me. I don't come in during finals because it's an email process, so I'm home correcting, basically. Homework should be in by the last day of class, which is
next Thursday,
but I will begrudgingly take some stuff after that. So don't hesitate to pass it in. Assume that I'm going to be a wuss and I'm going to take it and just pass it in, okay? Just keep sending it. If anybody sends me mountains of stuff, then I usually look at it. If it's any good, I tell them that they're going to get an incomplete and I'll correct it after Christmas. So, you know, if I get mountains of stuff, I pretty much say, okay, it took you this long to give it to me, it's going to take you this long to get it corrected. Okay, that's the deal. But I will take it. So anyway, that's where we stand. Questions about all that? about half the final, maybe a little bit more is required, but then the other half is, optional. Or you can pick optional questions. So if you like code, you can pick code. If you like true false, you can pick those. You know, you can build up your points in a way that you feel comfortable with. Okay? Anybody else got questions? Okay. So, labs are tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, rather. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Mondays doesn't start till 11. And as I think I said, I will definitely be there till 2, and I'll stay later if people want to stay. Tuesday and Thursday, it starts at 9:30. But somebody else is in the show at 9:30 on Monday. Okay? Alrighty.
That's what I think, because I told
My parents planned a trip to the to Pittsburgh. They want to go early in the afternoon. I mean, like 12:30 or something like that. So maybe it won't be attending.
That's fine. It's just an open lab. So for people to come in and work on it, and Eric hopefully is going to be feeling better, Eric and I will be here so we can help with problems. But it's fine. It's totally optional.
Okay. So I have the rock basin season, but I never put it in. And I think...
You'll have what?
The rock basin season.
Okay. You never passed it in,
yeah.
Then send it to me again. I'm actually close to being caught up. I think I've got about 20 things in my inbox, which means I'm close to being caught up.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do anything.
It frequently is over 100 when I, at the end of a week, or 200 sometimes, depending on what people send me.
I mean, I have many things that I don't pass in because I forgot about...
Well, start doing it. I will put up, and I should have said this before, I'm going to put up the status sheet, which is a required part of the final. And I will put it up, I'll try to do it either tonight or tomorrow. And so you should look at that. And if you don't have grades for any one of those things, then you think you passed in, then maybe I didn't get it.
So you're gonna send it. Like everyone's grades out? Or?
No, I'm just gonna post the status sheet, the list of things you did. And you have, it's part of the final. You have to pass it in to me. Tell me what ones you did. So that if I don't have it and you said you did it, then I will get in contact with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of your insurance. So if you fill out the status sheet and you claim you did rock, paper, scissors, and I don't have rock, paper, scissors, then I'm going to email you and say, you know, send me rock, paper, scissors because I don't really have it.
And you said... you said this at the beginning of the semester, I believe, that anything that you say you need to fix, you have to fix it to get a grade?
To get the grade as we go along. Now, when we get to doing finals, I end up giving you partial credit.
Okay, because what I was planning on doing was this weekend, I was planning on doing anything that you told me to do.
That's good. Because you lose a lot of points if you don't.
Yeah.
But I do give partial credit. I don't go back and give you totally no credit.
Okay.
But I don't do that until it's time to do the final grades, and then I give you partial credit at that point.
All right. Thank you.
Okay?
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. No.